Entrepreneurs, welcome to another episode of our show. My name is Blessing Abeng, and with me is the amazing
Wem.
Yes, so we hooked up with somebody really cool this weekend. Okay, I don't think I should have said hooked up. we got talking with someone really amazing this weekend. His name is Salako. He's an amazing person. He is actually a comedian. In fact, I shouldn't be talking
to him. Entertainer.
Yes, actually, he's more than a comedian. So he started off as a comedian, but he ventured into a lot of other things, and now he is an entertainer. In fact, before I continue, I'd like Wem to tell us what our topic is going to be about.
First of all, we all know him as SLK. Stop being. Anyways, we're going to be talking about the joke business. And although this episode is focused on people, entertainers and comedians, there are a lot of lessons you can actually learn from this episode.
Yes,
because Salako said things that are relevant to business in general. So I hope that you gain a lot from this. So listen.
Hi, it's okay. Tell us about yourself.
I am a comedian, actor, writer, an event MC. So majorly, let's just say I'm an entertainer. Yeah. I started comedy, stand-up comedy, like 3 years back. 6 years.
Oh, okay. I was shocked.
6 years back. Yeah. And,
At what point did you decide to be an entertainer?
At the point that I actually came to my senses and... Okay, typical of people like me in secondary school that were very good, we just believed that we just had to go to school and try to go with the flow. But I think it came with maturity and sense of self-discovery sometime in my second year in uni that this is actually what I was born to do, and so I tried to face it through this.
You went to school at some point.
Yeah, I did.
Obviously, you said uni. So, tell us about that. At what point did you decide that I was done making money out of this?
The truth is, for me, starting out, money was never like a focus at all. Like, as a matter of fact, I didn't even know I did not know how profitable it was. I didn't know it was this profitable. I didn't know as a then. But majorly it was for passion, and I still have a passion for it. So the time that until 3 years into it or 4 years into it before I started actually seeing the reality of money. After I had gotten my act right, so to speak, before I started actually seeing the reality of, there's really money in this.
So what would you say your passion is?
Entertaining.
Making me smile. Making me happy.
Well, yeah. Seeing people actually happy. Seeing people laugh. Seeing people enjoying themselves. Yeah.
Okay. So, as a business, does it work like every other business? Or is it just, are there dynamics to it?
Of course, there are. Every business has its own unique dynamics. But the thing is, what you should know is that the general laws of all those demand, supply, and all, they are the same. But it's just that ours is a little bit different in the sense that we work when people relax, when normal people relax, and we relax when normal people work. Yeah, so. Those are the few differences, but generally the general laws of demand and supply, general business laws also follow. So it's more like, instead of the conventional business, what we are rendering is laughter, or the service we are rendering is laughter, which might be seen as unserious, has a tendency to be seen as unserious, but actually depends on the value you put on it. Yeah, as a service provider. So.
Okay. So over the years, what were the skills or what were the things you had you learned or taught yourself or had to, you know, pick from a mentor or something to, you know,
get
better.
Where you are right now.
Yeah. First, I had to learn one of the major tricks of the trade, which is one thing you learn is, I think it was John C. Maxwell that said talent is not enough. Once you are sure you have the talent and you've learned the art of making people laugh, there are some other added stuff. I had to learn how to package, in quotes, especially dressing. I had to learn which is ideal for the which, what way to dress for which occasion. I had to learn that. I also had to brush up on language skills, like people skills. I had to learn how to relate to people, because the job like ours, you need to learn how to, especially when it comes to the event hosting part of my job, you have to deal with the parents of the bride or the client themselves, you have to deal with the band, you have to deal with the DJ. So people skills very important, and also negotiation skills also very important. You need to learn that as well. Because, yeah, it's a business, so you need to learn what to charge, who, what not to charge, what not to, how to position yourself in such a way that you get the upper hand when negotiating. So those are just a few stuff that I had to learn with.
Okay, I hope you expand, sir. You're expanding.
I got you.
So yeah, there is this concept. I was thinking to myself, see, is comedy something you could build into a conglomerate, like into something big, something unbelievably big?
Yeah, people have done it in the past, and really, it's not like, if you look at Walt Disney, for instance, it's probably not comedy, but it's pretty much in that line. Comedy Central as well. I don't know if you've heard of Comedy Central.
Yeah, of course.
They have one in Africa. That's to show you how big it is. Mm-hmm. They have one in Africa just for Africa. That's Comedy Central Africa. That's in South Africa. I don't even think it's in Nigeria yet, but especially in America, they've hosted. So it's a big deal. It depends on how, like you said, how you want it to expand, or how much your mind can carry. Yeah, it's actually possible for it to be very, 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 very big. If you look at Jerry Seinfeld, for instance, Jerry Seinfeld, by the way, is the, should we say, highest paid comedian or highest earning comedian. Mm-hmm. If you look at Jerry Seinfeld, for instance, he has a show that has the longest running show ever on TV. So, like, if you try to make it sustainable, if you try to put so much effort that you make it bigger than you expect, why not? Comedy is actually something, just like every other thing, actually, can be.
Okay, let's be personal now. What would you say has been your most, your worst day out, or your most embarrassing moment in the business?
No, I mean, like, 4 years ago. I think?
Yeah, 4 years ago.
Sure about.
Yeah, what happened?
I went, obviously, you know, the hazard, the major hazard of the comedy profession is starting jokes and not making people not laughing. So that's like the major hazard.
Is that it? Or people actually throwing stuff at you?
Well, I think you have your legs. But comedy is actually the most difficult performing art, as far as I am concerned, because every other form of performing art, you don't need a specific response. Comedy is the only one that actually needs a specific response. Like, a singer can come and sing and nobody actually hears him, but he will feel like he performed well, because he actually sang well, and probably he just felt that, okay, maybe touch the crowd or something. But there's no such leeway, or there's no such excuse for a comedian. Even no matter how good you are, if nobody laughs, you flop. That's just it. So that's how difficult comedy is. But then be that as it may, I've always had a very good time on stage, and I still have. But that day, I think it was more like a call back to earth kind of move by God, just to make me realize that, wait, okay, you know what? Yeah, you're not really all that. It's a comedy club, actually. It was a, not a comedy club, the late Nomolos. It had a music night, so comedy night, and myself and my friend, we had performed there like 4 or 5 times before, and so we just went up on stage. I didn't want to perform because that's another thing, audience analysis is very important. I had already felt that, okay, this audience is not my kind of audience anymore at that time, because it was getting to like 9:30 and everybody had one or two more to drink. So I didn't like the whole ambience, but a senior colleague of mine insisted that I performed, and so I took off the mic to my detriment, and the rest is history. But thank God for Nomolos, the late Nomolos, they did not actually stop me. And actually, as in, this is like a crowd I've performed for several years, so I was wondering what went wrong, but I guess I learned what I was just learning, and that was like the last time it ever happened. So.
So yeah, do you guys have issues patent? Okay, you obviously can't patent your joke, but...
Well, yeah.
What do you do to protect your jokes? Because your jokes are things that can be easily stolen. And nobody would say it's your joke, except they probably heard it somewhere and be like, oh, this is a joke. So how do you protect yourself and your jokes?
This is what I think. It's not just a Nigerian thing. It's just more rampant in Nigeria. And I'll tell you why. I think abroad, we've had issues of Russell Peters once in a while saying guys should stole a joke or something, or David Cow in South Africa and all. But the truth is, why I said it's a global problem, and there's really nothing you can do to register your jokes, really, really, in the real sense of it. Because the audience just wants to laugh. They don't really know who says what first. They just hear it. And if they hear it from someone's mouth and they hear it from another person's mouth, they just believe that the person they heard it from first.
Mm-hmm.
It's the owner. So that works. But I think it's a thing of integrity. I think it boils down to integrity. Why is much more is more rampant here than there is that I think they are naturally, how will I put this? I have to be very careful. They are naturally more conscious about their stuff, about their talent. They don't deceive themselves. Most of them are not doing it just to survive. A lot of them are actually doing it because it's their passion. And I think till we get to that stage, we still be stuck with that problem. A lot of us are doing it because we are doing it for money. So we tend to water down the place of passion. We tend to water down. So like a passionate comedian will know that he wants to have only his content. The pride that comes with the profession, you'll be too proud to try to steal from another person, knowing it's an integrity thing. I don't know how to explain it to you, but a true musician wants you to enjoy the crux of it. He wants you to enjoy his talent. He wants you to enjoy his songs. That's like a true musician wants you to enjoy his intellectual product. Just the way a true comedian wants you to enjoy his own product, mental product, not just any other person's. If you're really passionate, you won't just get satisfied when you get. And again, it's a thing of literacy. Most of us go to school, but we never just get to understand the concept because we are just going to school to get a degree. But the truth is that the reason you did a project and insisted on getting a reference, even though your lecturers did not tell you. But the truth is that they insisted on you getting reference for every quote and everything you did, because it's actually illiteracy to lift without giving reference. That's just the point. Mm-hmm. It's a show of illiteracy, but like a plethora of other things we do in school based on laws, we don't know the true essence, so we don't even apply it to real life. We just do it so that lecturer will not catch us. That's just what we do. But majorly, the reason you put reference in your work in school is just so to tell you that it's illiteracy. So once you have that consciousness, even a tweet, you don't want to. That's why there's a retweet app. There's a retweet function. Yeah, there's a retweet feature. There's a regram feature. Just so that you would not have any cause to lift someone's quote without his.
Oh, that's so nice. That's deep. We should put that on Wall of Fame or something. Okay, yeah, but one last thing. So, do you think comedy cannot stand alone as business? Because sometimes you end up seeing all those, like, a lot of comedians either going to reality TV or acting or something extra. It's never really just comedy alone. Is it because comedy is not viable as a business on its own? Or
you can actually do comedy in whatever thing, whatever.
Oh yeah, because of how you can replicate comedy.
Trust me, there are two ways to answer that question. Personally, the thing about comedians is that stand-up comedy being the hardest. I say it again, being the hardest of all. Once you can be a very good stand-up comedian, you can practically, almost literally, do any other thing in the art. I can actually tell you that. For free, because a comedian probably most likely, or most comedians have music sense. They perform with songs too. They act. They talk. They speak well. So once you can break the stand-up comedy ice all over the world, most likely you'll find other things easy. Jiggers. That's where you find all over the world comedians, stand-up comedians are acting, they are hosting, they are doing this, they're hosting the Oscars, hosting the Grammy, you know, stuff like that. So it's the fact is that being a stand-up comedian makes you it's like being in further math class. You'll find mathematics and all this other stuff like quite easy. So it's not something you cannot do. Then number two is that comedy can actually stand alone. Most of the time when I act, I've acted in a few, one or two movies, but the pay is not even up to what I get from being an event host or stand-up comedy.
You need to share
this I do it because of passion. What is it?
I said you need to share this money with us.
No, it's not.
What you have to say now?
I told one of the directors that I'm not doing this because of the money. You are obviously the money is crap. I can actually get that money. I get more than that in 1 hour or 2 hours, or even 10 minutes of stand-up comedy. But I'm doing that because I love the script and I love to act and I want to act as well. So it's not that. We cannot, why a lot of us do other stuff is not because we cannot stand alone. As a matter of fact, I see them as one and the same because stand-up comedy is a monologue and a monologue is a form of drama. And so acting is knocked off by stand-up comedy. And if you can sing, you can sing. So you do music. For anybody that just does business and does all this stuff probably has a passion for this other stuff. But you can actually do comedy alone if you know what you're doing. There's a part of the Bible that says if your eye be single, then light something. You know, I can't. Why did I bother to put that? So, something about being your eye being single. And so if you focus on it, you can actually make it viable. But most comedians are restless. They just, because they know they can't do other stuff, they just want to do it. So you see a Bobby that produced a movie and acted in it, an AY produced a movie and acted in it, Chris Rock. Reading movie, acted in it, Jamie Foxx, you act and sing, you know. So, but that's the thing about being a stand-up comedian. You can do anything.
All right, Salako, it's been awesome having you on the show. What final words do you have for entrepreneurs in Africa generally?
The final word is entertainment is not an easy way out, especially the way we handle stuff in Africa. It's not an easy way out. It's not something you do because there's nothing else to do. It's not like a last resort. Entertainment involves passion. Passion. You must have passion for it. And you must try to do it the way it should be done. So let us get the mentality of entertainment being last resort or being something you do because there's nothing else to do. actually something that involves passion and should be done the right way. So once you have the talent and you're passionate about it, keep moving. Try not. I don't believe in. You see, okay, this nowadays, if you look at art generally, we are trying to. Most artists, both they are trying to push away their focus from the art. Those days, the Mozart, the Mokela, the Bob Marley, it was about the art. You focus on the art. You didn't care about. You focus about the songs they put out. They put so much work into their work, into the materials they put out. But nowadays, you see, most artists, in quotes, they're trying to focus on how to dress, how to put tattoos on, how to arrive late, how to do this.
Hoping that
will boost. Sorry?
Is that diva behavior?
Yeah, so you're trying to, you're focusing on putting on news of your PR and this thing, leaving the art empty. So you okay? Now I know you. So what is your song? Do you understand? So it's supposed to be the other way around. You're not supposed to put the cart before the horse. You're supposed to like start work on yourself first. Then those things. Yeah, I mean, if you believe so much in them, you can add them, but they should be an addition, not like something you start with and add talent. No, the talent is first. You must work on yourself and really be good. Put out good stuff. Before you now start adding PR, start adding swag, and start adding packages, if you like.
Thank you very much, Nesoki. Tell people your full name now.
Ah, you really want to know?
Of course,
Oluwa Pomile Salako. See why SLK is better.
What does it mean, though?
Oluwa Pomile means God honored me, or God, apparently my parents felt God has honored them.
By giving them you, and you made them laugh, and they're making money. God has really honored them. We're really honored as well to have you on our show. Thank you very much. Yes,
you're welcome.
We love you. You didn't joke enough. You didn't laugh. You didn't make us laugh. Okay, he did. Laugh. Not... Laughed a couple of times. And if I say crack a joke, you say no. Comedians don't just crack jokes. So
yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much. So it was really nice having you. Don't make you forget how you hoped, how you longed, how you wished, how you believed.
Say you fit do anything you wanna. Feel rich anyway. Wow. That was a lot though. Salako is always funny.
Yeah, and unfortunately you refuse to crack a joke for it because,
can you pay for it?
Of course
we can pay. Alright, but I think he really made some very important points. The part that really got to me was where he talked about talent not being enough. He still had to develop skills, and in developing those skills, he learned how to talk, how to dress, how to
package himself.
So apparently, as much as a lot has been said, if there is anything you should remember, is a couple of things counts in business. Network. Conversations, like how you talk, you yourself, presentations, you presenting yourself, and then how you look, how you appear. Because somehow a lot of people, your first impression is not what you first see. Mm-hmm. It really isn't. It's how you because I see you before you open your mouth. So except our first impressions was over phone calls. If I see your Facebook picture first, or in fact it's how you dress. So how you look, how you dress, your facial expressions, all of those things are extremely important. Joke business, entertainment business, whatever you find yourself, just always look good. Dress like you're gonna have a Forbes interview in 5 seconds that you don't even know. And then have the right network. Try to network every time you have the opportunity. Meet people, hold sensible conversations, and learn to pitch. Talk about your business, present yourself, present your business, make it look like a multi-billion naira company or multi-billion dollar company that people should be interested in investing in.
Yeah, just to reiterate what you were saying, it is more than your product, it's more than your service, it's more than what you're offering the customer. Most times the mistake we entrepreneurs and we entertainers and the likes make is that we think that the primary focus is that service you're giving. But it's always way more than that. It's in the packaging, it's in the presentation, it's in how people see you. In short, the worth of your service is how people is in how people view it. So if they don't see that worth or value in what you're offering, then it is zero. That is why we see so many people that are less seemingly talented, if that's English, but they are actually more popular, doing better than the people that have more talent, because they've actually put more work into the other aspects that even these more talented people do not focus on
or do not think is important.
Yeah, so always remember that it's about emotion. It's about the emotion that you can invoke in your customers. It's about the emotion you can invoke in whoever you're trying to reach. Always remember that. I mean, we were talking about Steve Jobs today, and we talked about we saw those ads, that the first ads for the Apple products
were stunning. Yeah, how
they made you feel like it was for go-getters, for people that wanted to break the mold, for people that wanted to be different. So tap into that emotional part of your product or service, and I'm telling you, you're going to be good.
I'm sorry I have to talk about this dressing thing again, talking about Steve Jobs. A lot of things that Steve Jobs lost, as in his startup phase, were because of how he appeared, how he didn't wear shoes, how he didn't have much to offer. When you see him, he didn't have his bath, he had his reasons for not doing those things, but you can't tell an investor that the investor does not care.
you show up wearing a Dalabia with dreadlocks and a coat. Imagine how the investor would look.
Yes, so a lot of times the investors just viewed him as a dirty person who was unserious, who does not understand the business, and I can't trust anybody with this money. I can't trust this person with this money. So yeah, that matters as well. One other thing that SLK said that really got to me was how he said you put your business, like, take your business more seriously than PR stunts. Like, yes, you're good. Be good first, before you start trying to come up with gimmicks to make yourself even more popular, because popularity is not what would keep you in the business.
It's your talent and what you're offering that keeps you.
You need to be relevant, and being relevant in the industry doesn't mean causing commotion to make yourself look more relevant. It doesn't
work. It's not trending on Twitter. It's not spending too much money on ads when the value you're offering is not good enough.
I mean, there's this new thing people do now that really pisses me off. So it's like, in fact, it starts with you as an entrepreneur, you the client. They call up advertising companies and be like, I want to trend. What do you want to trend for? Why do you want to trend? You shouldn't want to just wake up and want to trend. You should want to create a product that is worth talking about the point where you trend.
And amazingly, trending is not equal to conversion. Yeah, because you trend does not mean I'm going to buy your product or listen to your music.
If you fake the trend, the possibility of people even finding out about it, knowing about it, awareness, nothing. You don't get any of that because we can see through the rubbish.
Yeah, true. And
we can't.
Yeah, and in closing, it's important that you are persistent, you are resilient. You cannot succeed. The truth is that nobody succeeds in one day. You have to keep on doing it. Keep on improving and keep on being consistent. That's the only way you can succeed.
Oh, yeah. Before we get there, one more thing I want to add is you could sense the seriousness in how SLK talked about his business. Like, he's a comedian, but when we started talking about his comedy as a business, like, he got serious because it's a serious business. Any business you're in is a serious business, no matter how trivial you think it is. So take it a little more seriously. In fact, take it seriously as you possibly can. Take yourself, take your business seriously.
Yeah, let me quote one part from the Bible quickly before we go. C.S. the man did diligence in his work. It will stand before kings and not men. So be diligent in what you're doing. Be consistent. Commit yourself to constantly improve. And trust me, more people will see you and look for you.
Pastor, with the camera.
So send your questions to questions@theafropreneur.net. Tweet at us.
@theafropreneurs.
You can also check us out on Facebook.
Yeah, you can call me too.
All right, be awesome people.
Yeah, take care. I'm going to see you. You've got to save, you've got to save, you've got to save it.